PTF here, reminding you that you can get free past performances for the Stronach 5 from our partners over at Daily Racing Form. Just go to drf.com/ITM, play this week's Stronach 5, starting at approximately 3:50 Eastern on Friday. Welcome to the Stronach 5 podcast for Friday, July 3rd. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in my in-laws' bedroom. I just laugh when I say that. In the woods in Western Maine. Very excited to be looking at this bet. We came so close last week to delivering a pretty nice ticket, starting with a 10-1 A horse in the first leg and having A horses all along the way until we got knocked out at the end. We gave folks a fun ride, but we want to do better than that. We want to hit some stuff. Maybe it will be this week. We've got another sequence divided between Laurel and Gulfstream. Hopefully we can go one better this time around. And to help me construct these tickets, the man who liked that 10-1 A horse in the first leg last week and countless other prices along the way, despite his reputation, sometimes justified as a chalk-eating weasel, from the planet Texas, he's the people's champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, my man?
What's going on? It's funny. I look at so many darn races. You reminded me. I forgot about that. So I'm glad that we used that horse. Fia. I think his name was Fia, right? I think it was. Number 9, Fiya. Great name. Fia. So
Fia. Was there anything to second guess in the one that we missed in the last leg after that sequence? I remember going back and saying, look, I didn't feel bad. I mean, I felt bad that we didn't hit it, but I didn't feel like there was a construction error or a handicapping error. I felt like it was just one that we weren't meant to have that day.
You know, it's funny is like the losses, I was trying to remember what happened because the losses, I usually just, like, I try to turn the page and forget about them. But now that I remember, that was the race where we had two horses that were A horses that they scratched.
Correct.
And then we just so the whole complexion of the race, the first way we looked at it, the first pass of the past performances were just those situations can get a little dicey because you got to almost kind of reset. But the scratches came out late enough in the day. We were all run. I just didn't have time to fully reset. I just kind of went back to what I had already written. I was like, oh, well, here, these guys are bang, bang, bang. I mean, I don't feel like I completely dropped the ball on that horse, but, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah, that the circumstances weren't ideal, but looking it back over again, it wasn't one that I was like kicking myself about, which was the only good thing. That's a terrible feeling when you go back. Like the other very recent week, we were 4 or 5. I went back and it was like a horse that I felt like definitely should have been an A. I know what you're saying about turning the page and looking at a lot of races, but I will say this, especially for a lot of listeners who are maybe consider themselves still learning the game. I do believe there is a lot of teachable moments and going back and deconstructing, not just the handicapping side, but the betting side. When you have time, is that an exercise that you like to indulge in?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always good to try to look back. You know, we've talked about it on the show a bunch, but you know, I think the enemy of a horse player is hindsight. You just don't want to allow that revisit to unfairly skew your process if it doesn't need to be. Now look, you might be doing something consistently wrong that you feel like you need to adjust. I'm not saying don't adjust it, but just because you get beat in a sequence because of a scratch heavy race and there's a horse that beat you doesn't mean you need to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. A lot of people will just solve the last problem and then you end up chasing rainbows with apologies for the jackpot illusion there, but you know, you can get in the weird chasing your tail kind of loop if you're not careful. But the other thing is sometimes you'll just notice things, especially if you're doing it on a regular basis. One example I can think of, I don't remember all the particulars, but sometimes you'll go back and you'll see, for example, looking back at races, if you spend a lot of time handicapping Keeneland and maybe horses coming from a certain circuit to keep hitting the board at very big prices, or you'll just take that extra moment, or you'll see a certain rider that you need in a couple of key spots, and maybe they're a little bit off, and there is some signal in it. It's a delicate dance that needs to be done on the toes, like so many things in racing. But I do think it's time. Very often, if you have the right horse player personality, and you're not inclined to overcorrect and zig and zag too much, I do think there's plenty of signal when you can go back and look at your past results and look at the races after the fact and not just be governed by hindsight. Understand that this is a game about making decisions more than it's just about getting good results. I do believe there's something to it. Anyway, let's talk about this sequence, JK, onward and upward. We start things off on Friday. The first race is the 7th at Laurel. It is scheduled for 3:50 Eastern time. We've got claimers 16 down to 14, non-winners of 2 lifetime, 5.5 furlongs on turf. I always love to hear your opinion in turf sprints. You're one of the few horse players I feel like is confident in these races. You laid out a terrific theory about them on a recent podcast, pointing to looking for simply the horse with the best numbers and the speed of the speed in these type of spots. When you look at this race at Laurel, who do you come up with? Who do you want to start this pick out with?
I thought it was 4, 5, and 6 for me. I think I don't have the numbers on my PP, so forgive me for that. But it's Judy Blue Eyes, Jeannie Highway, and Pins and Needles. So I think that's 4, 5, 6. If it's not, sorry.
Those are the horses with the best numbers, no doubt. I had Pins and Needles right on top. Why don't you run us down, starting with Judy Blue Eyes, a great rock and roll theme name, by the way, JK. I'm sure you're always breaking out that first Crosby, Stills, and Nash record.
Yeah. I mean, I have that right over there. I actually turned it off to do this, but
it's hanging on the wall in the bunker. That's how important it is. It's hanging on the wall in the bunker. But give us the case on the equine, Judy Blue Eyes.
You know, this is a horse that, if you look, has been 3-1 or less in the last four starts, 5 of the last 6 starts. So the horse is being bet. The horse is running fine, you know, but now getting onto the turf. Getting back on the turf, has won on the turf before, has some turf pedigree, has some horses that have run well on the turf. And the figure standpoint, you just suggest that if the horses run well on the turf before, second off of a layoff, I just think, and they tried to get on the turf last time he got off. I just think there's a lot of things pointing in the direction that this horse could run well, tactical enough, figures fit, all those good things. Jeannie Highway was another one that back as a 3-year-old had a number or two that made sense from a turf sprint standpoint. Not as much early speed as I'd like to be able to lean on this one, but the final number fits in here. Gets Fergal Lynch, who goes hand in hand with our boy Chris Pipito Pipes, who, if he'll stop messing around, we'll throw that booger on a JK plus one soon, and that could be the best episode. That could be the episode that breaks the internet.
So, I'm tempted to give the explicit content warning now if that show happens, but man, it would be fantastic.
Yeah, put that out there now. And then Pins and Needles is one that has really fast pace figures, 2 back, going the flat 5. So I don't think the 5.5 is going to be a problem, but this horse is probably the most likely one to clear, has that outside speed. You know, I think it's fun in these sequences, and I'm going to start doing it. If I wasn't a single a horse, this is the one I'd single. I don't think this is a singleable race. But if for whatever reason you have other opinions elsewhere, you got to save some money somewhere, and you're looking for one, this is the one I'd single.
I agree. I like Pins and Needles best, and definitely pressable as well, potentially. We are very focused on the ABC ticket construction method as espoused by Barry Meadow, by Stephen Crist, and we typically stick to that on this show. In real life very often, and maybe eventually on these shows, we will also try to find horses to really go through and press. The dollar minimum, you can still do it. It just depends on what your A-line looks like, really. It's still a concept that can come into play. Kill bets, as Mike Maloney calls them, Pins and Needles would be really good for that one. I should point out, I'll put a bumper at the top of the show as well, but free daily racing form, past performances available if you go to drf.com/ITM. Pretty soon, we're going to have those on a link, a really nice direct link on our site too, JK, as part of this website redesign we're doing, where I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to go to inthemoneypodcast.com/DRF, which rolls off the tongue even better. But for right now, drf.com/ITM, promo code you're going to need is money. Before we move on, I want to throw out one horse for your consideration. Don't need this one. Wouldn't mind as a B. looking at certain pace figures, more or less, this filly drawn down on the inside has a couple of angles that I like. Second off the layoff, off the bench, attended, didn't set, but attended a pace coded red on Time Form US. I was thinking this was one of those that maybe had a sneaky chance to get away as a little bit of a long shot and might be worth including. Number one, more or less. Can you see it if you squint? I'll tell you right now, you can talk me out of this one, but I just wanted to discuss it as a possible B.
No, I mean, I think in these situations, I don't have a problem necessarily with like using horses as beads because they don't drastically change the financial outlook of the wager, especially just a single B. It's really not taking that big of a chunk out of the equity of the bet. The horse, the race where the horse did show a lot of speed, really fast figures fell apart. But there is some nice performances back there, turf sprinting and, had a good trip last time down on the inside, 79-1, but that was against better, was entered June 27th at Delaware, which is, what is that? A couple of days ago to run at this, essentially at this level and was on the AE. So, I don't think there's anything sneaky from a class perspective, but yeah, as a B horse, I wouldn't have any problem.
All right, cool. I'm going to write it up with the 4, 5, and 6 as A's and the lone B being the one. And with that, we'll move on to our second race. We go to Gulfstream Park. Race number 9, 3 and up allowance, fillies and mares going a mile on the dirt. There's one horse in here that I just want to make sure is somewhere on the ticket, and then I'm going to leave it to you. But I was interested in number 5, Lil Miss Hotshot, who I thought would get a good forward trip. Another second off a layoff. We're seeing with this period of racing we're in right now, with so many circuits not being on during the heart of part A of the pandemic, a lot of these second layoff horses I have an eye on, especially coming from the right barns. This one has very competitive figs. I wanted to put number 5, Lil Miss Hotshot, somewhere in a race where I was suspicious about the favorite, who's one of these Navarro off horses who looked, just looking at pace figures, like might be positioned way too far back. That's the 2 I was willing to fade. I want the 5 somewhere. Tell me what you thought of Gulfstream's 9th.
I had a single A on Lil Miss Hotshot. So,
okay.
Single A, you agree. Lil Miss Hotshot and single B, Sammy Sunshine, right to her outside. Alizé, I didn't really necessarily need from the Navarro off thing. I mean, Tom Amos couldn't win with the horse. Navarro did in an off the turf race where he was headed and fought back down on the inside. I don't need Alizé if that horse wins and I lose. Lil Miss Hotshot, tactical, drawn outside of the kind of the speed horses. Sammy Sunshine's the only one that I think could probably give her much pressure, and I would imagine they're not going to hook up. I think they're going to just kind of go 1-2 around there or 2-3 around there, and they're drawn to the outside, which is kind of where you want to be as of late down at Gulfstream. So those are the only ones I needed, is an A for Lil Miss Hotshot and a B for Sammy Sunshine.
There you go. 5 is an A, 6 is a B. Very straightforward by our reckoning. That's good that we agree in a spot to get narrow. Very, very helpful when you're working with somebody to construct a ticket. Things get hairy when you're, if we're trying to bet together and your 1 or 2 horse legs are my spreads and vice versa, all of a sudden, maybe that's a day you don't need to play with your partner. But when you can go through a sequence and you have the type of overlap we have at the start of this one, makes it a lot easier to put a ticket together. Some days on this show, we do preview and have those kind of conversations. Today, we're going in completely cold. So it's nice to know that we have that agreement. What other advice do you have, JK, for players out there? We talked before about the bankroll issues, I'll call them, that some smaller players might have. They might want to, in some instances, band together to use their dollars to vote to support this bet that we think is the best bet in racing. What advice do you have generally to people working with friends to put tickets together? Any traps to avoid, et cetera?
Well, I think it's kind of a 2-part question, right? I think that your first part about the bankroll restrictions, I think if you are going into the Stronic 5 and you think to yourself, okay, I want to bet about $100 today, a couple hundred bucks today. And then you you put your ticket together the way you kind of want it, and it comes out to 450 or 380 or whatever it is. And you're like, okay, let me – don't do that thing where you start trimming it down just to barely get it to the 200 mark, and then you're like, all right, this is good. I'm going to do it. Just take a deep – realize that you're not seeing the sequence well. So take a step back. And then just make a ticket for $50 or $100 or $75 and instead of wasting it all this week, then come back next week when maybe you do have a stronger opinion. So don't just get under your budget mark. Rethink your approach completely based on if you can't get to your budget mark. More of a direct hit. Instead of that including those three horses or that horse you kind of wanted to single, go ahead and single that horse and play a $4 ticket rather than playing a dollar ticket with all these spreads and hoping that you get there. When it comes to the partnership thing, I think that there's always kind of got to be one person who's doing the cooking. You know, it's easier that way. And, you know, someone can, you know, come in to make some recommendations. Hey, I think you should probably stir that. Or, hey, you know.
Chop these carrots.
Yes.
There are jobs within. And maybe the chop these carrots job is the quarterback of the team knows that race three is a spread race and has – five they want to use, and says to the team, okay, race three, this is a spread race. I'm open for any creative idea you have, you know, and maybe they could throw a horse in there where you're looking to spread anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Or the other thing you can do is if you know your buddy's good at turf sprints, or if Pete and I are doing a bet, then the two turf sprint races, Pete, I'm going to handle these. You do the other ones. And then that's it. I do what I want in those races. He does what he wants in the other. And here we go. You know, or you can just make that one suggestion. Hey, I don't care what you do in the last, Pete, just make sure you use the seven. I like the seven. I don't care if he's an A or a B, wherever he fits in your run, just make sure you use a seven. You know, so you just got to have that conversation and that trust to really be able to do it the best way possible.
Yeah. Not for everybody. You know, there are groups of people at the track who hang out together. People make this mistake all the time. God, I wish I could remember who came up with this line, because it's such brilliant advice in general about the track. And the idea is only hang out with people you want to see win. You know what I mean? You do see these frenemies situations from time to time develop in a racetrack environment. You can't be partners with somebody with whom you're not on like the same page on some fundamental level. Not every race, you could have a solid racetrack friendship that it's still not going to be the right thing to bet partners with the person. Just a few random thoughts there about playing partners. I don't know why that popped in my head right there, but I'm glad we did it. Hopefully that'll help some folks out. And it's the kind of thing might be fun to chat about on Twitter, or if you have comments and you want to drop them through inthemoneypodcast.com, the contact page, the newly revamped, and we're only at the beginning stages, inthemoneypodcast.com. Send us a note if you want to talk about going partners or anything else having to do with racing. We'll get to them on the show. We're sort of overdue. I need to drop that voicemail hotline number again. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, which is embarrassing. Maybe I'll reach for that at the end. Let's talk about race number 8 at Laurel, Jonathan. We've got an allowance going a mile on the dirt, and some familiar names in here, which is kind of cool. I'm going to let you kick this one off. Who do you want to use?
I got a single A and three Bs. The single A is Always Mining. I just think that Always Mining's he's a stakes type. And, you know, he kind of fell off form a little bit, after early this year. He kind of had those two bad races where I think there were some excuses there. He obviously got a break after the March race. So I'm assuming that he might have needed that break, or maybe they just didn't want to run him anywhere but in Maryland. And then he comes back and catches kind of an off racetrack or a moist racetrack down at Churchill. But they thought enough of him to put him on a plane and to run him in the blame against Owendale and some of those other good horses. I want to think like Mr. Money was in there, a couple others. So it wasn't like it was just some like slum race that they're like, oh, let's just go down there and try to pick up a check. That was a real race. And so I feel like, you know, I feel like he's just better than these. He's got an outside draw. He's tactical. And I think he's going to get the job done in here. So I'd like to single A him, because if the real Always Mining shows up, they're all going to be running for second. And then I thought Harper's First Ride, Name Changer, and No Dozing. No Dozing is, I've wasted a lot of money on this horse. Well,
You're going to have to explain what you don't like about the seven. I thought that might be your single A based on recent form.
You talking about Cordmaker?
Yes.
Well, I mean, he hasn't run since October of last year.
Layoff, definitely a fair question, but that's to me the only question.
When he got close last time to the pace, it wasn't fast. So this horse is going to get pressure. He's 1-for-5 off of a layoff, 2-for-4 second off of a layoff. Okay. I just feel like, sure, the horse can win, right? But he's going to have pressure from Always Minding. And to me, Always Minding is just better. Just better.
I will lobby for a B inclusion, but let's get back to your other backups that you did want to have. You mentioned among them Name Changer, who I had on my shortlist as well, being a flow upgrade from the last couple of times, chasing slow paces, definitely some more speed here. The top one doesn't show up. I thought there were a lot of races that would put Name Changer close. And then you mentioned No Dozing, who, I mean, how can you not be tired of No Dozing's act at this point? But I also take your point that this is an old class horse, and there are some excuses. Now, he has more bad races than he has excuses, but, you know, stuck on the inside last time on a day where that didn't seem like a great place to be. You would give, do you think, I guess my question for No Dozing, will he legitimately be the 10-to-1 of the morning line? Cause if so, I think as an old class horse, I would agree. I'd want him as a B. If he's going to be a wise guy at all, I'd be happy to fade him.
Yeah. I mean, he's 0-for-7. He was 0-for-7 last year. He hasn't won since 2018. I think there's probably an opportunity for people to kind of forget about him a little bit, but I also think he's tactical enough that he could take advantage of being forward. And I've believed in him a couple of times before that if he's going to win this race at a price, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen on my watch. Name Changer has some big figures, runs well fresh. He's won 4 times off a layoff, not the longest layoff, but he's run well off a layoff. And then Harper's First Ride is a horse that has a nice figure. Last 2 or 3 figures is, you know, second off a layoff, has an opportunity to continue to improve. And, you know, can come from out of it if they somehow decide they want to try to do something cute up front and go too quick.
Yeah, which does seem possible. Time Form does coat it fast. So to sum up, I'm good with your Always Minding idea as a lone A, and I'm definitely good with the 1, 3, and 6 as Bs. You just never know. Sometimes with these layoff horses that haven't run off a layoff before, and it's more to do with circumstances and small sample sizes and things. You mind if we try to price up this bet with the 7 in there as a B as well? I just think if they all run their numbers, Cordmaker is going to be pretty close.
Yeah. No, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Okay, so let's do that. We've got 1 A and 4 Bs, and we'll see. We'll just have to see how it. You know, when you start getting 4 Bs, if we have another leg where we have a lot of Bs, that line, it's going to eliminate any possibility of a 2B ticket. But you know what? A lot of weeks, we just haven't played a 2B ticket in this. And you know, that's fine. That's something that can work. Let's see what this rest of this ticket looks like. We have 2 races left, and we'll move on to Gulfstream's 10th race. 3 and up maidens going a mile on the turf. I had a lot of trouble with this race. I'm hoping you have a strong opinion. I did not mind number 4, Moni, at all. Now in the barn of Wesley Ward, I thought this work tab looks very good. Looks like one who's ready for the return to the races. Bet very hard on debut, doing a difficult thing, debuting, going long. I wanted Moni somewhere, but honestly, my opinion beyond that, I'm hoping you can guide the ship a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Moni as an A. I mean, I'm not usually cutting in line to bet Wesley Ward off of Todd Pletcher long on the turf, but you know, horse obviously has a little bit of ability. I don't have numbers, but the Mr. Matuschik?
Yeah, something like that. I'll dig on it and give it to you in a second.
Yeah, I like this horse. I mean, this horse is. He's a single for me if I was singling. I like this horse. Back at Keeneland, the horse ran really well, was 4-to-1 that day, was closing into a slow pace as a 2-year-old. The horse is a 3-year-old now. I really, really like this horse in this spot. And then Fake Muse to the outside, I thought was interesting. Is that an AE? Like I said, I printed these early, so I don't have the.
No. Fake Muse is in. And Mr. Matuschik is what I'm going to call the number 9. That's the Wesley. We get the Wesley Ward on. We get the Wesley Ward off. I kind of like yeah. The symmetry of that. So and what? Tell me a little more about your Fake Muse case. I mean, I can see just, it. Second yeah. time gelding, flow upgrade, a lot of little things. I would the pace made the not the pace the The Post made me a little nervous, but I mean, 12-1 on the morning line has those obvious attributes. I'm in.
Yeah, tactical speed and always finishing well enough, close enough, you know, and drawn outside should get a nice trip out in the clear. Shouldn't have to worry about getting stuck in behind horses. So I just felt like this one made sense to me.
Are you good going 4-9-11 as A's? I'd be fine bumping mine back to a B. I just want to be on the ticket somewhere.
No, I kind of want to move the 11 back to a B. I just want to have the first time Wesley and the last time Wesley is the A's. But like I said, the 9 would be my press in there.
I like it. 4-9 as A's in leg number 4 and the 11 as a B. I don't know why that amuses me, but it does. Race number 9, we're back at Laurel. No, excuse me. It's not race number 9. It's leg E, and it is Laurel's 9th race. It is not the 9th race we're talking about. It is a first level allowance. It's a mile and a 16th on the grass. Doesn't look like there's a lot of pace signed on. So I wanted to talk to you about a couple forward runners who I thought made sense. Number 6, Cannon's Roar, I thought would get a great trip in here. Has turf form last year that I thought was even better than it looks when you get in there and look at the setups and some of the trouble between race design and I think the paper being maybe a little bit better than it looks at first. Cannon's Roar I was interested in. And then I wanted to at least talk about number 4, Speed Game, final numbers that fit, maybe a pace advantage. And I also don't mind at all the fact that we've got this 7-time winner sneaking into a first level allowance on one of the deeper conditions in the race. Those were the two I wanted to talk about. I want to hear what you have to say. How are we going to get paid?
I mean, so there's one horse that I have to have as an A horse, despite the pace situation, and that's the one, Jay Beresford Tipton. I think this horse...
fastest horse.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I don't see... I'm not convinced that these horses are going to take advantage of the fact that there's not a lot of pace. I've learned in turf racing, sometimes, you know, a lot of people will lean on that. There's no pace in the race, so they find something they think is going to be forward, and they don't get that forward, and they just invite the better horse into the race. So I definitely want to have Jay Beresford as an A. And then here's a nice little ticket compromise. I think there's 3 horses that make sense from a pace standpoint. Speed Game, Cannon's Roar, like you mentioned, and then Epitomize, I think, is a little bit sneaky. One first out for Graham Motion and Eclipse Thoroughbreds, and did it at a short price, was bet that day. Then ran on the Poly going the 7 furlongs and didn't run all that well, but now gets to go 2 turns on the turf for Graham Motion. First time as a 3-year-old. I think this horse is sneaky. So I want to use the 1 as an A. I want to use the 4, the 5, and the 6, but only one of the 4, 5, and 6 can be an A. I think so you let me know which one you want and we'll make the other 2 B's.
It wasn't the horse that I mentioned, but I'm loving the Epitomize case at a price. We've seen this before with Motion and switching surfaces and getting quite a tune out of these horses where they run beyond what their numbers are going to be. I think from a value point of view, I kind of want to go with Epitomize. I like the idea of having those 2 forward horses on the ticket as B's. But again, not a race where I had a strong opinion. So I'm going to take that one.
I just don't think those speed horses are speedy enough to really take advantage of it. There's the question marks, the horse stretching out. There's a possibility they both could hook up. So I just don't feel like, oh my God, this horse is dead loose. And he can finish. He's going to be able to hold off those other two. I still think the other two run him down. So I'm good with it. I like it that way, using those 2 as the A's, yeah, and then using the two speed horses, or well, forward horses as B's.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And turf, obviously, if it were a dirt race, I'd be more keen on laying into the 4 or the 6, or I definitely want to have whoever I thought was the best one. But, you know, you raise a couple of different scenarios where they might not be able to take advantage of that speed, either by going, it's kind of funny, they have to go just right to take advantage of it. If they go too fast, it's going to set up for the others. If they go too slow, it's going to set up for the others. But neither of them is cheap enough that I'd want them out completely. So I think we've got the right compromise. And I'm very happy with that. I'm happy with that ticket. So let's take a look at what that got us. I will click over. You know, there's a couple ways you can do it. Within Formulator, I'm a proud DRF Formulator user. and you can open up the window. I send it every time I send out these screenshots, at least one person says, oh, where did you get that cool ticket maker view to do your pick five run? How do you do that with moving the chicklets around? And the answer is Ticketmaker. And I'm using it through Formulator. You can also go to drfticketmaker.com and do it that way. So when I pop all those numbers in, even with a two, this is an interesting situation because with our first draft, we are getting a $2 A line. And even with the A's with two B's, comes to 276, which is within our budget, easily customizable. You know, you can do all kinds of, if you were to take out those two B tickets, you're going to be bringing things way, way down in cost. You know, obviously you can play that all A ticket just for $12. So I think it's very easily customizable for people listening to be able to change this to suit their own needs. I'm not sure we have to do too much messing around, Jonathan. This is the first time we've done this show where what popped up in the ticket maker window, it feels reflective of the opinion. A lot of times we talk about when we have, well, at least for me, when I have stronger opinions, I'm very often good not needing the extra coverage of the 2B ticket. This is a sequence where I feel like I'm pretty good with wanting the 2B ticket because none of them are crazy. The most expensive one, there are two of the 2B tickets where we have enough backups that those runs are going to be like 48 a piece. But honestly, I'm good with it. If you want to try to make this even a little bit more efficient and dial a bit more into the A's with one B's or all A's, I'm listening. But I'm good with it as it lies.
No, I like it there. Just the only thing that I would say is that if you've got some budget, hit that A ticket a couple more times. I mean, I don't want to have the A ticket just for $12. I'd probably, you know, one of the things I'll do in this situation is depending on, like, you know, how much is the total? You can give me a rounded number, Pete. The total A with 1B, what's that total run for the A with 1B?
The A with 1B run is $82.
And then what about the A with 2Bs? That's probably a little bit more, probably
A with 2B number. That's a little bit harder math, but I think I can do it now that I'm a accomplished first grade math teacher, JK. That's about $170. So there is more money in the backups, you know,
which
clearly.
Which is fine because the backups,
I don't love it, but I think in this case it might be okay.
But the backups are going to pay. So I just think you want to try to get your A run. You don't want it to be that off. You want to hit your A run, you know, $5. I would try it for $5 to be closer to that number.
If we make our all A ticket for $4 and everything else for $1, that brings us to an even 300. So, well, I mean, that's kind of that's a sweet number. That's sometimes when ticket writing, I will say this is there's no magic to this, folks, but I like it when, like, you just do a little tweak like that and you get such a pretty round number. It makes me happy. It feels good. And it feels like what I think we should do to call this basically an episode of the Stronic 5 show. JK, anything to add?
Well, there it is. New logo. Pete, we got to make sure we put that in the thing. We got the new logo.
Yes. Yes. I might ask for your expertise on that. Do we have it in a nice form that's going to fit so we can?
Yeah, they sent us everything. We got it. It's in an email somewhere.
Production meeting in the middle of the show. Production meeting at the end of the show. Let's not decide this now because there's pros and cons, and we'll see. Part of me is thinking the Stronic 5 should have its own, like, feed potentially, or at least its own place on the fancy new website. Let's think about that for future consumption. I throw it out there because I'll forget to ask you, and 2 weeks will go by and we won't talk about it. Relu Gutierrez on the new JK Plus One. I say this about all your shows, and it's true about all of them. I can't wait to listen. Sounds like such a smart kid, and I'm seeing a lot of positive chatter about this one from various folks that don't, in different corners, who are friends and fans, but don't always like send our stuff around. It seems like you've struck a chord with some different people with this one. What's so special about this Relu chat you did?
Yeah, no, man, he's it's shocking. He's so, you know, he's just so engaged and so honest and aware. I mean, he talks about how he, instead of getting his feelings hurt, like a lot of probably young people would when Andy Serling butchered a ride, he reached out to Andy and went and sat down with him in his office. And Andy showed him some things about past performances that he might not have seen. And he's a college graduate with an equine, I mean, not equine, with an exercise science degree. So he eats 1,280 calories a day. That's his, that's 1,280, not 1,300, not 1,250, not 1,200, 1,280. So he's paying attention to that. He runs every day, so he doesn't have to get in the sauna. He's really taking care of his body from that standpoint. He was born in the game. He he went to a, in his words, a really nice high school with a higher socioeconomic status. So he can speak kind of to both extremes of the scale of the haves and the have nots. And you just listen to it and you say to yourself, the first thing I said to myself is I'm going to spend a lot of damn money using him in horses in races at Saratoga this summer and pick fives. Cause when I see him in there at 21 morning line, I'm going to be inclined to use him. So it's just, I'm rooting like hell for him. You know, I like our jockeys. I think they're a lot of fun. I think they're kind of the stars of our game outside of the horses, of course, but I'm a fan of all of them, to a certain extent. And he's really, he's thrown himself to the top of that list.
And to clarify, not just throwing him in because you like him, but throwing him in because anytime, you've got somebody who's has such a studied and cerebral approach to their craft that you believe you're going to be getting a little equity when you use somebody who's got that much going on.
I just know he cares. I know it's important to him. He set a goal of winning five races at Saratoga. So every horse he gets on, you're going to have his full attention. I just think it's a cool thing. And so, like I said, I'll be rooting for him like heck.
Now, what I want to know is if Raylu's going to trade the favor with Andy, get him up on horseback and see if we can get Andy Serling learning how to throw a proper cross on horseback. What do you think the chances of that are?
It could be dangerous for all parties involved.
You think there's a better chance of Andy wearing one of your shirts on the show as he's threatened to do on occasion?
Yeah, a better chance of that. He also the other day said that there's a better chance of him knowing a Jay-Z. I asked him if he knew a Jay-Z song. He shot that down pretty quick.
Good stuff. All right, JK, check that out. Check out everything going on InTheMoneyPodcast.com. More info about the bet and, of course, all about racing coverage over at DRF.com. Happy to be partnering with them once again. DRF.com/ITM to get your free PPs. Stronic 5, best bet in racing, 3:30 on Friday. I'll be doing a live stream. We sort of hijacked the live stream we're doing, the charity live stream we're doing for Breeders' Cup last week, and turned it a little bit into the Stronic 5 live stream, which was kind of fun. We'll be covering on there. Look for that link as well. Breeders' Cup Facebook page. Matt Bernier and I will be talking about the charity contest, and we'll be talking about the Stronic 5. Did I hear you? Do you have one quick closing thought for us, JK? Am I intuiting that correctly? We don't have videos. So
no, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We can wrap.
I don't think so. Yep.
Excellent. We'll look for you on TV. Reach out. Keep in touch. Please subscribe, review, rate our shows on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And now we'll do the thank yous. Thank you, JK. Thanks to our friends at the Stronic Group. Especially Steve Cook, who's been such a big supporter, and that did good numbers last week. We're hoping for more of the same this week. Also want to thank most of all of you, the listeners who made the bet do so well and make these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatel. May you win all your Stronic 5 photos.